In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's gospel readings, are one of my favorite set of readings in the entire church year. Okay, so I was telling you guys last week that every time there's a liturgy, there's how many gospels that's read? It's three gospels, okay? There's the one that we hear just now, but that's just like the end one. Then there's a gospel that was read last night in the Vesper service to prepare for the day, and then there's one read in the early morning in the Matin service. And when you put all three of these gospels together, the picture of today is so beautiful and is so clear. The gospel that was read last night was from Matthew chapter 9, which was a story of two miracles that took place. First, when a centurion, Jairus, came to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he had a daughter who was dead. His daughter had died. And he came to our Lord Jesus Christ and asked for help. And the Lord healed the daughter, and she raised up. And in addition, in that same story, was the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who came and just wanted to touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed from her sickness. This morning's gospel was another woman who came with a sick child who was demon-possessed, Matthew chapter 15. And again, she came crying to the Lord and said, "Help me, my daughter is demon-possessed." He first said, "No, I'm here for the Israelites." She said, "No, but you know, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the mat," that whole story. And healed. And then the best miracle of all, which is right now in Luke chapter 7, which is the spiritual healing of a sinful woman who came and found true healing for your soul. Now, as I was reading this, at first I said, this is very upbeat, very encouraging. But then the more and more I thought about it, and more I got into the stories, actually I found myself being discouraged. Not encouraged, but discouraged. Why? Why would these stories discourage me instead of encourage me? Why? Because here, let's be honest. These are beautiful stories about miracles, about people who needed something from the Lord. They came to him and they got it. It's a beautiful story. But let's be honest. I come to him all the time, and I don't get my stuff answered. And I'm reading this stuff, and I'm saying, oh, this is great. And this is great. He solved her problem. And this one had a problem with her child, and he solved the problem with the child. And this one had a problem with sin, and he solved the problem with sin. I said, this is great. And then I realize, what about me? That's what the question up there is. What am I missing? If he's so eager to heal so many people's sickness, to heal people's families, if he's eager to heal people's souls and spirits, what am I missing? And then it hit me. All four of these miracles had something in common. Something very, very, very much in common. And the very thing that they have in common is the very thing that I hate the most. The very thing they had in common is the very thing that I personally hate the most. And it's the very thing that God has been, this past week, has been drilling in my head. You know what they had? All four of these people had something. They had confession. They had confession. And when I say confession, I'm not talking about once a year I go to Abuna on New Year's Eve and I say it's December 31st, fix me and here's all. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these people lived a life of confession. They lived real confession. Real confession to, as I put up there, admit my weakness and seek help from others. If you look at these four characters, the stuff they did is stuff that I would never do. Not just confession, but almost humiliation they had to go through in order to get their prayers answered. This sinful woman right here in this story had to walk into that Pharisee's house, and all them people were looking at her, judging her, spitting on her, throwing stuff at her, laughing at her, whatever. This woman, okay, we don't know her name. We don't know what city she's from. We don't know what job she had. We don't know if she was married or not married. We don't know how many kids. The Bible defines this woman by one word. What is this woman? Sinner. Sinner is her name. And twice it said it right here in the passage. Imagine that you walked into a place where you're defined as a sinner. Welcome to Deacon so-and-so and Deacon so-and-so. And I would like you to come and I'm going to tell everyone, welcome to Sinner Fulan, your name. This person is sinner. We wouldn't go there. We wouldn't get within 100 miles of that place, because we can't accept going to a place and people seeing weakness and things like that. Look at the Canaanite woman from this morning's Gospel of Matthew 15. This woman had to go and say, I got a problem with my kids. And all the other people's going to look at her and say, oh, but you must be a bad mom. She says, I don't care if you think I'm a bad mom. I got a problem and I need help. Us, we hate confession. You know who hates confession the most? The most spiritual people. Me, I'm a priest. I take confessions. I hate confessing. It's my job. It's my job to stand up here and look like I got it all under control. Like I know what I'm doing. That's my job. If I came up here one Sunday and said, I have no idea what I'm doing in life, you wouldn't be very happy with that. It's my job to make it look like I know what I'm doing and to not expose my weaknesses. And I'm telling you, what God has been telling me recently is what is standing between me and all the good stuff that the Bible promises. Every page of this Bible promises joy, promises peace, promises victory, promises hope, promises all kinds of good stuff. What's standing between me and that stuff is my unwillingness to confess, my unwillingness, again, I'm not saying my unwillingness to go to Abuna on December 31st once a year, or to go before Holy Week. I'm saying my unwillingness to live a life of confession, taking off the mask. You know the mask that we all wear? The mask that we walk around, we want everyone to think that we have a perfect spiritual life, a perfect family, a perfect marriage, a perfect everything. We want everyone to think that we're perfect. That mask, that's what's standing between me and all the good stuff. I'll tell you a funny story, true story. His Holiness Pope Shenouda one time said this story in, I think it was one of the clergy meetings. So he was saying about how, like, you know when you go to like a bishop or a pope, okay? Pope is like a bishop, okay? A bishop or a pope. You would go and you would say, I have sinned, forgive me. Or I've sinned, absolve me. And you make like matanya, okay? You know what I'm talking about, okay? When you go to a bishop, okay, a priest, you just greet him by kissing his hand. But a bishop, you make matanya, or, and you say, I've sinned, absolve me, okay? I've sinned, absolve me, because he has the power to absolve. So I've sinned, absolve me. Or it's like, I've sinned, forgive me. And everyone says this to the Pope. I've sinned, absolve me, and then you go on to talk about whatever you want to talk about. So one time, he was talking about the importance of us as priests living confession. Us as priests, because he knows that we're the ones who struggle with it most. So he was saying, all of you priests, come to me and say, I've sinned, absolve me. And one day, I guess he was in a mood where he wanted to jab a little bit with the priest who said it to him. So the priest came to him and said, I've sinned, absolve me. He said, okay, tell me your sins. And the priest was, of course, surprised. He said, no, I'm the worst sinner. Okay, I know you're the worst sinner. Give me an example or two. This is what we do. This is what we really do. Is that we don't like to expose ourselves. We don't like people to see the weakness. Yay, I'm the worst person in the world. Everyone here, if I said, who's the worst person? Everyone raise your hand. I'm the worst person. That's great. But are you willing to really admit your weakness and expose your weakness in front of others, or you just say, I'm the worst person? I'm going to give you two passages from the Bible that was not in today's readings, but was in the quiet time readings from this past week. Okay, for those who don't know, our church, we have a little schedule of quiet time readings, something that we can all do together. It's nice, we kind of join together. And if you was doing those readings this past week, you follow with me on these two. First came from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, okay, for those of you who don't know, is the scariest chapter in the Bible if you're Coptic Orthodox. If you're Coptic Orthodox, the chapter you don't want to read is 1 Corinthians 11. Because 1 Corinthians 11 speaks about what? It speaks about communion, and it speaks about what happens when you partake of communion in an unworthy manner. Okay? Speaks of what happens when you partake of communion in an unworthy manner. And it says, summary, bad stuff. Okay, it says don't partake in an unworthy manner. And it's really, really sharp on this one. And this is why, by the way, as a side note, when someone comes up here and says, Abuna, I just walked into church right now, can I take communion? I will say the same thing. Look, buddy, if you want to go read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and see what it means to partake unworthily, and you take that responsibility in your soul, that's fine. but stay away from me. Okay, you put that burden on your soul, that's fine. But I'm not going to put it on my soul, because that's serious stuff. Or people will tell me, I'm not fasting, but I need communion. Or I'm not this, but I need communion. You do what you want, man. But I advise you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 before you do that. All right, but don't put the burden on me. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 speaks to us, and it says, starting in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. He's saying, because you don't partake in a worthy manner, this is why a lot of your lives are messed up. This is why you have problems that you can't fix, because you are not partaking in a worthy manner. What's the solution? What's the solution? Solution for a lot of people is don't take communion. Don't take communion. At least I know I'm not guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Look, first of all, that can't be the right answer. Second of all, that may work for you, but it doesn't work for me. I thought about this one. You can come here to liturgy, realize that you've done mistakes and stuff like that. You can just sit there during communion. But I'm up here, okay? And if I'm up here and I decide, you know what? No communion today. Again, it isn't going to work, okay? It isn't going to work that I decide, you know what? I'm not ready for communion, so communion is off today. No communion today. Doesn't work for me. So what I need to do is figure out a solution to this problem. How me, with all kinds of mistakes and all kinds of weaknesses and all kinds of sins, can partake worthily? What's the answer? What does he command us to do here? The answer is examine. There's one command in this passage. Okay? He says, don't do this, 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 don't do this. Then there's one positive. And that positive is to examine. And look what he says. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So he's saying, I want you to eat and I want you to drink. I'm not saying I don't want you, but I want you to be prepared. How? Examine. 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 You thought I was going to say, make sure that you prayed an hour before you came. You thought I was going to say, make sure that you fast every Wednesday and Friday. You thought I was going to say, make sure that you don't steal money from God and make sure you give your tithe. You thought I was going to tell you to do something. Look how easy God makes it. This is what astounded me. What astounds me is what he is giving us and how easy he makes it for us. Don't fix your problem. Don't solve your problem. Don't remove your sin. Don't remove it. Just examine. Examine? It's that easy? It's that simple? The funny thing is how much we dislike to examine ourselves, because we dislike to see the dirt on ourselves, and we like to convince ourselves that it's not there. This is a principle of life. That if you don't see the dirt on your soul, doesn't mean it's not there. It just means you don't see it. Typical example, many times, in the car, pulling a BK, Taco Bell, whatever, pick up something, eat it while I'm driving, which I don't recommend, but in case of emergencies. And then I'm walking around, and I'm enjoying life, and everything is fine. And then I get home at night, and I realize the special sauce is right there. Right there, so everyone who sees me sees the special sauce. Now, all day long, I convinced myself that I was clean. But just because I convinced myself that I'm clean doesn't mean I'm really clean. The only person that I'm fooling is one person. It's myself. So, here's news for you. If you don't want to examine yourself, and you don't want to see your weakness, every person around here knows that you have weaknesses. And if you don't believe us, we can come to you at your home today and we can go one by one. We can send you an email with all your weaknesses. Everyone, ask your wife, ask your kids, ask your boss, your coach. We can list many weaknesses that you have. So the only one who doesn't realize them is you. And you're the one who looks foolish by not examining. Examine. Second passage, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. St. Paul is speaking in the entire book of Ephesians. He's speaking about the life, the glorious life that God has for us. About how God wants us to live in the heavenly places. And how God wants us to be full of Christ and the fullness of Him who fills all kinds of good stuff. Like everything that's good in life, St. Paul's speaking about. And again, I look at that and I say, I don't have that. What's the problem? Why he's saying that we can live like this and I live like this? What makes me go from here to here? Sin, right? Like I have sin, I have things. What's the solution? Ephesians 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He's right now saying, I know you have bad things inside you. Shameful things that it's not even proper to speak of. What should you do with them? Fix them? Did he say fix them? Correct them? Remove them? Destroy them? Overcome them? What does he say we should do with them? Expose. That's it. Expose. Don't solve. Don't cure. Don't remove. Just expose means just point. There he is. Right there. You see, the formula that God has given us for the solution to all our problems is examine and expose. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It doesn't require a PhD. It doesn't require you to be the strongest person in the whole wide world. Doesn't it require you to be a perfect? It just requires you to take a little bit of time every day to examine and a little bit of time to expose them. God has made it so easy for us. And he has given to us everything in a very, very easy formula. Expose, examine, expose. And he says when you do that, that's why he said at the end there, arise, when you do that, you'll be able to arise. Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light. When you learn how to examine and expose, I was thinking to myself, how much God did for us to give us freedom, to give us victory, and how easy he made it for us. Like, it's embarrassing how easy it is for us and how little we use it. Like, if he said, climb a mountain to be removed from your sins and we didn't get around to it today, okay, no problem. You didn't have time to climb a mountain. But he makes it so easy, and it's shameful that we don't use it more. I have a coupon in my car for Burger King for a free medium Coke that I won off a thing. Or I have another one that I just used recently for a free breakfast sandwich. Value of each of those things like 99 cents. I will drive 10 miles out of my way to a Burger King to utilize that free coupon. And I will continue to do so before they expire. Why? Because that's something that's too good, that's given too easily for me to waste. It's too good to waste. And it's free. Remission of sins and eternal life to those who shall partake of him. The sinful woman. Ask her what she got this day. And ask her what she did to get it. You know why a lot of times we don't confess? You know why a lot of times? First of all, like I said, when I say confession, I'm not talking about just show up at Abuna's door once a year. I'm not even saying just confess to Abuna whatever, however often. I'm saying live a life of confession. Live a life of admitting my weakness and seeking help from others. Not being afraid to admit, you know what? I got a problem and I need help. Just last night, we have the midnight praises every Saturday night. Okay? And those who have never been, side note, for those who've never been to the Midnight Praises, maybe people don't know what I'm talking about, it's the best service in the entire church. And if you've never been, I invite you to try it just one time. Just one time, try it. And trust me, you'll find something that you never found before. I know people who's not even Orthodox who attend with us Midnight Praises because they love it so much. And last night, we were praying the Midnight Praises, and it started, and it was just me and a couple guys, okay? So it was just a couple of us at the beginning. And then, you know, I'm up in the front and I don't see who's walking in and stuff. And then somehow, by the middle of it, there was a lot of voices. And there was one time in particular that we were singing a hymn, and all the voices was like screaming together, and you couldn't hear yourself, and you were just screaming, and it was very, 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 very nice. And we were discussing it last night in the Tzibah. It was so nice. And during that time, when everyone is like together, and it's all like one voice, and you don't got this loud guy over here on the right, and this guy's off tune, when you're just one voice like that, and we're all together, if something happens, a mistake or something like that, it gets covered. Actually, last night when we were singing, okay, believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, but I actually made a little mistake in the hymn. Small, because it's me, I mean, you know. But, I mean, it was there. But luckily, because I wasn't on my own, if I'd been my own, we'd have been in big trouble. Because I wasn't on my own, because there was a group, and we were all one like this, what happened to my mistake? It got covered. It got covered by the group. This is my dream of how we should live. Is that all of us living like this, like leaning on each other, not being afraid to expose ourselves, admit our weakness, and relying on each other to cover. Isn't this the way heaven is? Isn't heaven all of us in one voice and one, you don't hear one guy this one, like this, all together. This is the way our life should begin right now. I got mistakes, you got mistakes. Let us take off the mask. Stop pretending like we're perfect, because we're not perfect. And stop hiding the truth. I'm not saying you got to send a list of your sins to all the whole wide world. What I'm saying is stop pretending you're perfect and start admitting your weakness and being willing to let others help you. Oftentimes, we want God to help us. And I believe God does help us. But oftentimes, he helps us in the form of other people. But oftentimes, we're too proud or too embarrassed or to whatever, to accept that help. Our problem today is not that people aren't willing to help you. Our problem today is that you're not willing to allow other people to help you. My dream is for all of us to live this transparent life. Last verse I want to show you. This was from the Catholic Epistle for today. Just so you see how foolish it is to continue to hide your sin, your weakness, your struggles, your whatever. How foolish it is and what you're missing out on. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why you continue to live with something that the reason that he was manifested into this world, into your life, is to destroy it. Why you have that gift given so freely and to everyone, and all that's asked of you is live a life of confession. Again, I'm not just saying confess once a year, confess whatever. Live a life of confession. And you refuse. It is for this purpose that he has came down. It is for this purpose that we gather together around this table, that we may receive remission of sins and eternal life to everyone who shall partake of him. But we got to do our part. Examine, expose. Glory be to God forever. Amen.